staying alive, so staying alive.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.
Oh, can you do that all year again? Like you liked it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Picked the right song.
You did.
I got Rita's happy. That's a good way to start. Not that you're never unhappy, but a good beat is a good beat, isn't it? It's a great foundation for a conversation.
I'm a big fan of a good beat.
John, welcome back.
Oh, sorry guys, I just had a little piece of chicken and it was quite oily because it was, I don't know, long story, just had to wash my hands.
That's kind of dangerous because you eat the chicken away from anybody, like little bones in that. What if something happened?
Well, I would have choked.
Exactly.
And you would have resuscitated me shortly afterward.
I feel like oily chicken's better than dry chicken.
I probably would have done the segment though, it would have been probably about 10 minutes. So
you could have done. No, it was a good thing.
You didn't want to eat the chicken in front of Rita, is that it?
I prefer to eat my chicken in private. Anyway, this isn't about me eating chicken from the Indian store downstairs.
Private little greasy fingers.
This is about sustainability.
It is.
Rita, what's on the cards this evening for Sustaining Alive?
We're going to talk about where our vegetables come from.
Is this good?
Like just generally from the ones from the supermarket?
No. Before that.
Okay.
Before that, they come from the ground.
Oh, not a stalk or something
stalk,
like that?
Yeah. Not a truck. There was actually in the 90s, they did a survey of kids in, I think it was like Harlem, and they asked them where milk came from, and 90% of them said a carton.
Yeah, right.
Like they didn't know that it came from.
Lost children.
In particular, Auckland's got a bit of a problem with our vegetable supply because our population is actually set to grow to 2 million people in the next 10 years.
Wow. That is...
I'm ready, but I don't know if all Auckland's ready.
A lot of people.
Well, it's doubled in my life.
We're at 1.5 at the moment?
I think 1.66.
Okay.
Oh, you know when you say six and you really sound like a Kiwi? I had one of those
Is
moments.
It better that Sorry. We live in the city and then have all the land and like live on top of each other and then have all the land for the veggies or move out onto
yes.
the land a little bit and we all have our own little private
so
veggies?
This is the problem here. We have grown outwards in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, what we're doing is we're actually taking up some of New Zealand's best soil, which is
Super
in Pukekohe.
Oh, right.
In that area. Mm-hmm. It's actually known as elite soil, which is like, if you're going to be a
is
soil.
It like just
like,
rich, kind of dark
yeah,
soil with a little
really,
bit of pong.
When you drive out to the Bombay Hills, you can see it. It's kind of got this red star. It's actually really beautiful. I think it's really beautiful, but maybe I'm a soil mm-hmm. geek.
That's, yeah, it's a little weird.
It's
but
a little weird.
It's good.
Look
We've
at
got
that
the right
soil.
Person for the job, I think.
So what has happened is that we've used that soil's class one soil, elite productive soil, and it's been zoned as such. But with the population growth and moving outwards, it's actually a really great location because it's near the motorway. And so we have started building on it. And about 10 years ago, we rezoned a lot of it to residential. And we have now, as a result, lost a lot of that land to housing. So
did we like sort of schedule it just because it's proximity to Auckland and it's like, hey, it's too bad, this is great soil for growing stuff?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think we had particularly great protection for soil.
You don't hear about this stuff, eh?
Till it's kind of too late, yeah.
What does it mean for vegetable production nowadays? So we've obviously got less quality farming space. Does that mean we just import all our veggies from somewhere else in the world?
Yeah. So there's a few different things. So we've lost 10% of our horticultural land in Auckland to housing development, mm-hmm. and we're set to lose quite a bit more in the next 10 to 20 years. And I think the stat was 200 produce growers have closed up shop in the last 10 years. So since the zoning
change in
Auckland, yeah.
Wow, super.
So what we say, what it means for us is that we're having to bring in food from further away. So obviously that's got problems for not just bad for the environment because we're, you know, bigger carbon footprints, but also bad for the cost of it, right? Because we have to truck in food further away.
Out of town food, a little
out
risky with all the pests and stuff as well. Don't know what you're
yes.
bringing out of town food from Shelbyville or something, eh? Don't want that food.
Shelbyville. and that's it. The quality the control that we have of that food and the quality of it definitely decreases. And 70% of New Zealanders like to know where their veggies come from. So if we're getting it sourced from elsewhere, it's very difficult to know, because it's, you know, the old, if you've read the back of the frozen veggie packets, it's made from imported and
local ingredients.
The less fresh it is, isn't it? It's time spent.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we've got a bit of a loss of income because, you know, all of a sudden we've, you know, food that we've been producing here and selling overseas, we can no longer do as well.
Where's most of it coming from?
Nowadays.
Now we need it. I really want kiwi fruit. Where do I get it from?
Yeah, so the ones that Auckland grows particularly well are cabbage, lettuce, broccoli, tomatoes. 40% of New Zealand's tomatoes come from the Auckland area. Tomatoes, yeah, but that's actually they're mainly indoor.
Apparently, papakura means red soil. Yummy kumara.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's very beautiful out there. Collie and broccoli and potatoes from those are coming from elsewhere. In particular, South Auckland is the only grower of early season potatoes in New Zealand.
Trippy.
So early season potatoes will have to come from somewhere else. Whereas some of the other alternatives we can get from around the country, but obviously then that puts pressure on the rest of the country as well, because they're having to pay more for theirs because we're competing with them.
Imagine if you could only have chips one time of the year. That'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Ruin all the combos.
Yeah. That happens if you go to countries like Asia because potatoes grow better in cold climates.
Right.
You go to somewhere like Asia where fish is plentiful and you'll get heaps of fish and like four chips in your fish and chips, and it's like the opposite of what we're used to. This is so weird.
That sounds mint, actually.
Speaking, and the reason, like, because lots of people don't realise this, but soil actually takes tens of thousands of years to produce. We haven't really found a way of speeding up soil production, and we can't really move it very effectively, because of course at first I was like, well, we'll just dig it all up and move it, but you can't do that really. It destroys its quality, its structure when you do that, and also we're losing it to erosion as well. So when we've stripped the land to grow on, when it rains, we're losing some of that soil bit by bit by bit. And believe it or not, that builds up over time, that soil loss.
Crumbs out the waterways as well.
Yeah, absolutely, which is terrible for the waterways. And the other thing is that Auckland's especially amazing because of our volcanic location. So that soil has had the benefit of the volcanic ash and stuff to make it really fertile.
Is there anything being done to protect it, or have the protections for the fertile land just been completely stripped?
No, yeah, well, there was not really any protection to begin with, so they just really classed it as rural zoning, and that was it. And overseas, what they're doing is they are putting protections on their soil, so there is actually like a legislation to protect their class 1 and 2 soils. So that is absolutely what we have to do. We have to start looking at it, and really, you know, we need to identify them and then protect them. Like you're saying, we need those laws in place, and look at building houses up, not out, like you've identified at the beginning. And also, I think we need to properly value the contribution of vegetables to society.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
The use of local land for that, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean,
it just feels more righteous if you're able to get local veg.
Absolutely. Yeah. And are we willing to pay more for lesser quality food while private developers are profiting from building?
Someone's just said the new labelling laws that have come out should need to show the country of origin, so this so people can choose wisely.
That was an 11th hour change that was made, and it was probably one of our finest moments, which is great because it wasn't even on the table, and at the last minute it got thrown in, and it was from what I understand, hugely popular with voters. So what was it, 70% of people want to know where their vegetables come from?
Of course
from.
You
so
do.
I know. It's like a no-brainer really, isn't it? But I think that I would assume that the lobby groups that make these foods probably fought very hard. Because
you don't need to see my identification.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, you know, in their defence, if you produce, I don't know, peas and corn or whatever, you know, if there's a time of year that the peas are doing very well in New Zealand, you want to be able to top them up with you know, international peas or whatever. But so, you know, I can understand why. But we just need to know that. I think that's it. We just want the right to know that. So maybe you're not going to buy those peas. Like, I don't want to buy something that's come from halfway around the other side of the world.
Yeah, and if we can't grow it, like, seasonally, I think just education around what is available seasonally and like what sustainable, like what you should be eating
at this time of year.
You can't get a fucking watermelon now, you know, just don't worry about it.
Totally.
Do something else.
Yeah, yeah. I think people that come back from, like, if they've lived for a long time in big cities, that seasonality is like completely lost to them because they've been able to get.
Consumerism tells you can just get whatever you want whenever you want it, right?
Totally.
Hello, caller. Welcome
to
Sustaining Life.
Hello, another bit to your vegetable story.
Sure.
There's also, with the commercial crops, a lot of them only get accepted into supermarkets when they fit certain, you know, typical shapes, like cucumbers have to be long.
Oh, yeah, that is a total problem.
I was at the Avondale markets, and there was this guy that had these crazy things, and I was like, what are they? And he said, they're cucumbers.
Just
and
not how
only
you know them.
Curly ones. But, you know, if he didn't sell them at the markets, he was just going to compost them because the supermarkets didn't want them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's so crazy.
It's like that carry-on thing where you get at the airport, you know, you got to fit your bag in it. I think most vegetables have to fit in like a certain. I mean, that's kind of why we have orange carrots mainly and all that sort of shit, just because it looks the best, you know. And those big red apples don't have any nutrients in them.
There's a great film called The Gleaners and I. It came out in the year 2000 about a French woman following food, and they, like, all the potatoes that are too big to go to be turned into potato chips just get dumped in the countryside. It's a fantastic, kind of really interesting documentary that looks into that.
Glean of the eye.
The gleaners. Like gleaning things. Gleaners and I.
Oh, the gleaners and I.
Yeah, and there's lots of these rules in Europe that after commercial pickers have gone through, you're allowed to be X amount of kind of meters behind them, pick anything that's been dropped on the ground you're allowed to take. And so there's
creepy, I like it.
Great laws around the dispersal of food, I suppose.
Sort of the common sense related laws, eh? It's quite good.
But thank you, this is a really good topic.
Hey, all right, take it easy out there. Thanks for listening.
Too.
Thank you. So, yeah, tell your – the local body elections are coming up. So tell your MP – I know I always say this, and I know people think it's a bit lame, but it doesn't hurt to flick your
Who thinks it's lame?
I don't know. It sounds lame.
It?
Like, email your
who
local MP.
Who said that, Rita? We'll figure this out.
I don't know. When I say it, I feel like an old person. Write a letter. But it doesn't hurt to flick someone an email or a Facebook message, one of your local candidates, and say, I support protecting our soil. What are you doing about it? So especially if you live in South Auckland, because you've got the power, man.
Somebody says, I like this girl. Is she from Pukekohe?
No, I'm not. I'd be able to pronounce it better if I was. I'm from Avondale. Do you know what the soil is like in Avondale? I reckon once upon a time it was good.
Yeah, I think
good enough. The spider's good enough for me.
Potentially. Hey, Rita, thank you very much for coming in.
No worries.
Rita, the stars have aligned here. We've got a book giveaway that actually fits right into this segment. So hopefully someone's listening out there that is keen on making their home a little bit more sustainable in this beautiful country that we have, New Zealand, Aotearoa. We have Eco Home by Melinda Williams up for grabs if somebody would like it. It's a beautiful book, isn't it?
I would say it's a great coffee table book. And if you want
a bit thick.
Yeah.
Was that a matte finish?
I would call it a matte finish, but I'm not entirely sure.
Caller, are you fussed whether or not it's a matte or a gloss finish on the book? Or?
Oh, it matters not to me, but it sounds like a great book to have.
Sweet. It's right up your alley?
I've had it sitting on the corner of my desk at work, and I've been like, oh, shit, I wouldn't mind reading that myself and having a good look through it. So should provide you with some good old insight, I reckon.
Excellent. You can read it before you give it to me. No worries, brother.
I'll look at the pictures. But
maybe after he's eaten his greasy chicken, though.
Oh, stop it.
Hey, mate, we'll take you just off air. Just hang around here for a minute and we'll get right to it. Should say a big thank you to Rita for coming in.
All right, thanks for having me.
Brilliant. Cheers, Rita.
Have a good week.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.